Why are you loyal to certain brands? Let's discuss. Welcome to Princess and Scoundrel, where we take you along our scrappily ever after, from Fantasyland to Tatooine and everything in between. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Steven.
And this episode kind of came about from like a little trip through the drive-thru recently.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, the idea that came to me, right? We were in the, I believe, the Panera drive-thru.
Yeah.
So we were getting food for us and, you know, some friends. And we're going to two places specifically, to Panera and to Chick-fil-A. Yep. And we went through the Panera drive-thru, ordered our food. The attendant was pleasant. Like, there was nothing, no issues with it. And as we went through, gave me my price, and I said thank you. Now, one of the things that just, like, triggered in my mind was they didn't say my pleasure. Because at Chick-fil-A, they tell you my pleasure. Mm-hmm. So then it kind of got me on this little rant of like, isn't that weird that I didn't get bad service? Right. It was good service, I would say. But I didn't get that extra sauce afterwards that felt, that made me feel all tingly inside.
Right. So it wasn't a rant. You were just like, isn't that so weird that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but I was talking about it. But yeah. It was just weird that. You notice that. You notice those little bitty things. Like, it's nothing, you know, in a normal interaction. But when you're kind of back to back, you do notice the differences.
Right.
So I think that was the leading thing going into this conversation.
Right.
Was that customer service.
And so it was basically like your expectation whenever you go through a drive-thru, because we go to Chick-fil-A a lot, is if you say thank you, they say my pleasure. And when you didn't get that, you're like, oh. Like, my expectations were too high. And we've talked about this on a previous episode. We had an episode that was called Why Your Last Disney Trip Wasn't Magical, where we talked about expectations and why sometimes you build up these high hopes and these false expectations for your Disney trip. And so go back and watch that one, like, if you have a Disney trip coming up, and maybe why you should be a little more flexible with your expectations. But what we wanted to talk about in this episode is customer service and how companies' customer service dictates our expectations as consumers.
Kind of going back to the Chick-fil-A aspect, I don't think there's anything that it's an extra cost that they're saying my pleasure. But I think it makes that much of an impact that kind of becomes the standard of what I expect from a fast food restaurant. And that's the thing too, we're not talking about a, you know, a restaurant where it's a sit down and, you know, you have a server. It is a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
But there's just that little bit of extra that they're kind of, you know, my pleasure. Or even the jokes that you've seen on, you know, TikTok and Instagram, where the drive-through person is like chasing after the car to give them their receipt, something like that.
But I mean, no, it's absolutely true. It doesn't cost Chick-fil-A anything except maybe some extra training, but that's one of their, I believe, like, one of their core values is to put the guests first. And so they've ingrained that into their employees, and it shows. You feel special and you feel like, oh, this is nice, like when you're going through a Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And they've disrupted the fast food industry from being kind. Like, isn't that crazy? I mean, yes, they have some like logistical, like some of the like the logistics that they've implemented and like the multiple fast food lines, all of that stuff has also helped disrupt the fast food industry. But just the customer service that they put forward from something that you would say 20, 30 years ago, you would not have expected high customer service at fast food. Like, it was always the joke of like, you know, the grumpy teenager slinging burgers.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the idea of it is fast food. So if you wanted to be served, you went to a restaurant and you had a server, you had, you know, the whole experience. Whereas fast food was, I need to eat fast. Here's my fast food.
Right.
So I think they shifted it because they realized a lot of people were ordering fast food and kind of going through this experience. So that, like, even though it's a very small interaction, it makes a bigger impact.
With what Chick-fil-A is doing with their customer service, that's free. Kindness is free. Thankfully, we can all spread around more of it. But there are companies that put a lot of money and infrastructure into creating a better customer experience. And as a result, have disrupted the industry. And it is so weird that we're going to be talking about this on the podcast, but we're going to be talking about gas stations. Buc-ee's. You already know I'm going to say Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's has become a destination.
Like, yeah, that's weird. But
it's
yeah.
very weird. Like, again, think back 20, even 20 years ago, when you think about going on a road trip or rest stops or gas stations when you've got long hauls, it was something you did not look forward to. You're like, oh, it's going to be so gross. I'm going to hover and like not touch anything. Buc-ee's disrupted the game with their value proposition, like the cleanest toilets of in any gas station. And it's true. Like those are very nice restrooms.
Oh, absolutely. Like I think going on a trip, you are now more likely to drive a little bit further if I could get to a Buc-ee's than to stop at, you know, this random,
like whatever the rest stop is. Well, we went on a road trip a few months ago and we're like, okay, there's a Buc-ee's about halfway through. We'll stop at the Buc-ee's, fill up, and then, you know, like go refresh, and then we'll make the rest of it. We missed our exit, so we didn't make it there, but it was.
But we went to the next one.
We went to the next one. And so I think that's how people are planning their road trips now. And it's because of, yes, the customer service and like they have great employees and everything, but it's the guest experience that's really important there.
That comes hand in hand is they decided to make this facility where if people felt safe, felt it was a clean place to go. So, okay, here's the building, right? Here's the field, and they will come. So it's like now that people are coming, they have eyes on that, you know, this business. Let's give them a good, you know, the service.
Right.
And so it becomes like it's like a mini mart there. It's not just like a gas station or a convenience store. It's like they've got plenty of things. They've got clothing, you know, merch.
They sell Roosevelt's and Buc-ee's.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like they have all these things inside the store now. It's not just here, let me get a pack of gum or a bag of chips type of thing.
Now, if you've never been to a Buc-ee's, it's like the size of a grocery, like a small grocery store. Yeah. Like it is massive. They have great restrooms, tons of stalls. They're always clean. You can get gas there. You can get like breakfast, lunch, dinner, sweets, clothes, home decor. Like you can get anything that you want at Buc-ee's. And the result of
which is weird to think that there's all that stuff there, but it's like they're between major cities.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you have to take that home now? You have to.
I mean, they're assuming it's a road trip, right? Like you've got space for it. But the result of what they've done and how they've disrupted it is like the brand, I would say pride that people have for Buc-ee's is incredible. Like I cannot tell you how many people I saw out and about wearing Buc-ee's Christmas sweaters this year, right?
Yeah, no, we saw it over here, yeah.
But people wear Buc-ee's clothing all the time because they just love Buc-ee's. It's this loyalty and this pride for this brand that's been for a gas station.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, it's a big kind of comeback to it is they've set a level of customer service with, you know, the restrooms and, you know, having a you know, it's available stuff.
Right.
In one that people become loyal to it.
Right.
So they do wear, like, oh, I'm here. Let me grab this, you know, this Christmas shirt.
My beaver nuggets.
Let me show my pride.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going on a trip, we got to make a stop over here.
Right.
So it creates that brand loyalty because they elevated the game.
And they set high expectations. You know when you go what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Another company that has done that in a major, major, major way.
You think we're going to say.
Oh, what are you? No, what I'm going to say is Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon disrupted like every type of brick and mortar store. Like truly. Like it initially started with bookstores, right?
Yeah.
Because that was what Amazon was right. Like they only sold books in the beginning.
Originally, they were just books. Yeah.
I remember way back in my day, I tried to buy college textbooks from there and they had my address wrong. And I was bitter at Amazon for like a couple years until they expanded. And now they sell from A to Z.
I think Amazon is a real difficult one because they are such a huge, like you, when you think customer service, you think more like mom and pop, like that touch, that loving touch to it.
Right.
And Amazon doesn't feel like that.
No.
Not at all. It's very much like that is the by and large, you know, that whole idea of like, you don't know where or who it's coming from. It's, I just picked it and it's at my door, you know, my doorstep the next day, next hour sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's a weird one to say that they have good customer service, but the most frustrating thing is going to a big box, you know, brick and mortar. And I say big box, but a brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. And I want to touch it. I want to feel it. I want to buy it. And they don't have it. That it's the most frustrating thing. It's like, that is why you are here, because I want to touch it. I want to feel it. I want to get it right now.
Right.
And it's so frustrating going to different stores for different things and them not having it, or even them suggesting you could order it online.
Yes. We went. Okay. Complete sidebar. We were at the mall and there was this storefront that we went into and they sold like customized products, right? Like a branding, like a promotional store. And we were like, oh, do you do this? Do you do this? Like, we have things that we want to get printed. And they're like, yeah, just go on our website. And we're like, well, you have like a catalog, or like, can you show us some samples? They're like, oh yeah, just go on the website. And they didn't even have screens where we could do that. We were like, sell us. We're here to be sold.
Exactly. That to me, that is the thing that just like, I don't understand. And the one that it comes to my mind is Toys R Us. Oh, poor Jeffrey. But Toys R Us at the time was so adamant about not selling online that you had to be in the store, which it was great. But you shot yourself in the foot because you didn't make yourself available to everybody.
Right.
So it was like, it was great that there was Toys R Us around, but you had to go over there. Some people are not able to, like, be a little bit flexible.
Right.
And then by the time they got into that game, it was too late.
It was too late. And same, you know who powered their online store? Amazon.
Yeah.
But it was like a separate store. Remember? It was like Amazon helped with the infrastructure of it, but you couldn't buy from Toys R Us and Amazon in the same purchase.
Yeah. Like, it was like Toys R Us through Amazon type of thing.
It was like, you're not doing it right. Yeah. You tried, but bad approach.
Yeah.
But so, yeah. Now, I mean, Toys R Us is slowly coming back.
It's trying.
Kind of resurrecting itself. But there's things that you want to go to the store for. But when you have Amazon and it gets there in a couple of days, and if you don't like it, you can just return it.
Yeah. Super easily. You know, again, I'm just like, could rifle off ideas because right as of right now, I'm kind of getting into the sneaker game.
I can confirm that, yes.
But I want to see, I want to touch these shoes. I want to, you know, look at the profile. Like I want to be physical with it.
You know, maybe try on the shoe.
Exactly.
A wild thought.
Because sometimes there's like, if I want a certain size, like I want my size, but it fits a little bit more snug or fits a little bit loose.
Yeah.
Yes, there are places that you could try to like track down, like, hey, if you're going to order this, order it like a half size bigger or half size smaller because if, you know, whatever, which is very helpful.
Right.
But again, that's helpful. That's good customer service from these websites, these review sites, as opposed to the store.
Right.
Like, a Foot Locker should have not just like the, you know, the little silver shoe size thing, but maybe and I hate to say it, but like a sample shoe that I could, hey, let me wear it. Let me see what it feels like. Let me look what it, you know, how it looks on me type of thing. But it's a hard thing because you go to the store, you don't get to try on anything, or you have to wait on, the employee to come help me. So that takes a while. And then it doesn't feel like they're being helpful. And so you're kind of like just disheartened by it. And you're like, I'm going to go home. And then you could go home, go online, read some reviews, take the chance, have a place like Amazon where you could order it, and if it's not right, you could return it.
You can return it.
So it's like, I hate to say that they have great customer service, but they have better customer service than some places, and that's where the brick and mortars kind of fail.
Right. And it's strange to think that before it was like ordering shoes on the internet that you haven't even tried on. Like, I could never, like, I remember thinking, like, I would never buy clothes or shoes online because you don't get to try them on and see how they fit. But with the option to just send them back, you're like, well, I could do that while sitting on my couch and not have to get up and leave my house.
Yeah.
And it's done. Like, it's a good guest experience too.
Yeah. No, it's, again, it's a hard one because when you think of customer service, you think smaller or more like intimate.
Right.
And Amazon is not small or intimate.
No, but they take care of their customers.
Yeah.
Which is wild. The next one, and I think we'll just touch on this one briefly, is Apple. You cannot talk about customer service and guest experience without talking about the impact that Apple has had on the technology industry.
Well, I'm going to say on Apple's side of it, I don't feel it's necessarily customer service. Like, yes, they give you a level of customer service, but I think from their side, there's also an expectation that you know what you're doing. And they've kind of like changed it where it doesn't matter, like, because they know their customer base is very large.
Almost so everybody. From yeah.
You know nothing to you're a pro. So they've expanded it. But at the beginning, you had to be very knowledgeable in technology. I think where Apple exceeded was they took not even like new technology, because it was technology. Like when the iPhone came out, there was Blackberries, there was touchscreen phones, there was, you know, devices that were, you know, these multi, you know, spreadsheets and whatnot. They had there was all these phones already there, but they created this experience on the phone, like this device experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they exceeded, is like they create, you know, they took all these things, tweaked them, made it, you know, sleek and user friendly that people are like, okay, this is the standard now.
Well, we're leaving out an important part, which is beloved by all millennials. It comes in a good box. It comes in a really good box.
What they took that whole experience, again, the whole experience, the device, the box.
I remember the store itself,
like, it was very, like, you know, modern, clean, you know, it had this aesthetic to it, you know, this real modern aesthetic. So yes, they took that whole experience, and just buying the product became, you know, that experience.
Yeah, it was. Do you remember just like waking up in the middle of the night to go line up for the new iPhone? Even that was an experience, because you felt like, I have earned this phone. I have worked for this phone. This phone is mine. I have such pride over this phone now because I've been standing here for 8 hours in a mall.
But I think that's what they did. They knew what they were doing in that sense. And you didn't mind waiting because you were getting a product that you felt exceeded all of your expectations.
Right. And they've done that even to this day, like with the Genius Bar. If something goes wrong with your phone, your watch, whatever Apple product, you can go get it fixed by somebody and have that customer service. But you have to set an appointment, which it's frustrating.
No.
But at the same time, it sets your expectations.
But see, I think what happens, and this is like my thinking of when I think of customer service, I think of intimate and small, because that as like a Dunder Mifflin, like, you know, whenever they would pitch it, it was like, we always have someone available because it was something that was manageable.
They're the
paper people, but it was manageable. But once it gets to a point where it's too big, that's where I think people feel like it becomes out of hand. Like, yeah, they can't control it. Before, you used to just go in, talk to Genius Bar. Now you have to schedule it because there's just a larger amount of people that have phones, that have questions about these things. Now they try to, you know, have online, you know, the frequently asked questions and, all this like assistance in other ways, but when it's a week from your next schedule, I'd rather just go online and, you know, troubleshoot it myself to a point of like, all right, no, this is not, I'm not going to be able to remedy it myself. I have to go in and get them to exchange it.
Yeah.
Which they're pretty good about, you know, exchanging it. For most cases, they kind of go where you have to buy a new one.
Yeah.
That's kind of the hand that, they deal you. But so that's the crummy part. But
yeah, but I don't mind scheduling the appointment because I know if I'm going in at that time, I'm going to be seen at that time versus like going in on a, Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. when everybody's just gotten off work and they need help. Like, I know I have that time carved out for me and I will get the specific attention that I need at that time. So I don't mind it. It is frustrating when it's not, when there's nothing available.
But I'll say this, like, now think of that, like, you have a problem, you schedule it and you're waiting for Friday at 5.
Yeah.
In your work, when you have a ticket, you put in for IT because some issue arises.
Yeah.
When that specialist comes to take care of your mouse not working or whatever, not right. connecting, does it not work when that person comes to try to fix it?
It's like taking your kid to the doctor.
Exactly.
When they're sick. And then as soon as the doctor walks in, they're just like popped up and bright eyed and, oh, hey, how's it going? You're like, you were on your deathbed
so
30 minutes ago.
So you scheduling it. Is it going to be broken by the time it gets there?
That's a whole nother episode of like conspiracy theories and technology.
Because, I mean, that's what happens is like you go and you're like, well, it wasn't working before. Well, can you replicate it? You know, no, I can't. Like, it would just do this.
Yeah.
I can't. There's nothing wrong with it. I can't fix it.
I had that happen actually earlier today. Like, my boss was like, hey, can you go update this file? I was like, I'm on it. I go type, like, I go to the website. The website won't come up. I'm like, what the heck? So I spend a few minutes. I'm like refreshing. It's like, oh, it's not responding. I message my boss. I'm like, hey, I can't open this website. He's like, oh, is it giving a weird error? I refresh it. It opens. I was like, I just had to say something.
No,
like, I'm like, I think it was the rain. I don't know.
I'm going to one-up you, and I you probably remember this. My first car that I bought was a Scion TC.
Oh, yes.
So,
wait, I don't know this. I don't remember the story.
So it was, thanks for the key, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I really don't remember.
So it was like the first generation that Scion had come out, and it was the sedan. No, it was a coupe, but it was like the car because they had like a box car and then like a really small mousy looking car.
They
and
had
this was like
the TA, the TB, and the TC.
Yeah.
And you had the TC.
Or no,
XA, and
TC. XB. I don't know.
I don't remember.
They were, you know, they do.
You had
letters.
The TC.
Yeah, the TC. So had the car, loved the car as like a young person. Like it was a reasonable price, but like had good style. So it was like, you know, I felt good. Well, for some reason, it wasn't starting. Okay. You know, I would let it sit there for a little bit, and it was a manual transmission. So I was like, maybe I'm flooding it or something. Like I'm doing something wrong. It just wouldn't start. I get it to start. So I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. Start trying to head to work and it dies like mid, like while driving.
Oh
like,
no.
I'm in a gear and it just dies. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to take like, and it was a fairly new car. So I was like, I'm going to take it back to the dealership to come find out like what is going on.
Right.
So I'm getting over there. I'm probably a mile away from the dealership. It dies again on me and I'm trying to like crank it up and I'm like, son of a bee, like what is going on? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's not me. I know it's not me. So I get it. It turns on like nothing. It turns on like nothing.
Yeah.
Get it to the dealership. And I'm like, hey, I talked to one person. I think it was like the service center. I talked to them and I was like, hey, I need to look at it because it's just like dying half, you know, while I'm driving type of thing. And they're like, sure thing. We'll look at it. And I guess they, you know, plug the diagnostic thing. Like, nope, nothing's normal. And then like a sales guy comes out and says, hey, you were like on the side of the road when I was coming in. Like, yeah. Because it keeps dying. And I was like, he's saying that it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And he's like, oh. He's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I was like, so if I sell my car right now, like it's not going to show anything wrong with it. And they're like, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. There's nothing wrong with it. So I remember that day I went to, I think I went, ended up getting a Mitsubishi Lancer.
Oh, I remember. But it was that, I remember that part of the story.
That day I went and traded it in and got a different car because I was like, screw this. Like the fact that you're saying that there's nothing wrong with it and your sales guy saw me stranded on the side of the road trying to get it going. Like that, that, you know, those two things don't match up, but.
Okay. I don't think I actually don't think I knew that story. I knew that you were having problems with the car, but I do remember you going and buying your car that day because that was the same day I bought my very first car. We show up in my parents' house. I was like, look at my new car. And you're like, look at my new car. Oh my gosh.
It was not intentional. It was not that way, but
no. But the guest experience you had there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man, that was a trip down memory lane right there. So let's pivot to, I think, what we're all here to talk about, right? Which is Disney.
Yep.
Disney with customer service, with guest experience, just absolutely crushed it, disrupted the amusement park industry and really entertainment and like all things Disney, right? But let's focus specifically on theme parks. And they've elevated what we all expect whenever we enter a theme park.
Absolutely.
They are, it's a theme, right? You're not going there specifically because the rides are the best rides that you've ever ridden in the world. Like the rides, if we're being honest, the rides are okay.
Yeah.
There are some rides that are absolutely mind-blowing, like Rise of the Resistance.
Well, but I think, and again, I think it becomes from like door to ride. Like they have built that experience because if you're wanting a roller coaster, you know, Six Flags has roller coasters.
They got you.
Cedar Falls, Universal, like all these places have roller coasters that are probably, they're way more thrilling. Like there's plenty of places that have roller coasters that are more thrilling.
Yeah.
But Disney adds the theming to the queue.
Yeah. I'm laughing because you said SeaWorld, and all I can think about is that ride that terrified me at SeaWorld. Of
I was like, but as I'm saying, there's all these thrilling places that actually have like thrilling roller coasters.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be way more thrilling than anything at Disney.
Disney has attractions.
Exactly.
Not thrill rides.
And so they've expanded to the queue where, you know, you've got this whole story leading up to why you're on that ride or whatever. Right. And I think that's that added value. So, okay, that starts knocking out places like Six Flags. But Universal says we could do the same thing too. We have some IPs. We're going to kind of build a story around it. But then Disney kind of expands more on these lands.
Yeah.
So they have this whole Galaxy's Edge. But I think from that, you know, and I kind of, we start pitting the Universal versus Disney, you know, it becomes like a one-up
right
type of thing.
But before we even get into that, like Disney and Universal, like Disney has faltered in guest experience and in what they've provided to their guests. Because I don't know if you remember, I feel like such an old lady. Like, remember back in the day, but just 5 years ago before the pandemic, all of the things that you got for free as a guest, either to the parks or staying at a Disney resort, you got your extra magic hours, you got free magic bands, you got transportation from the airport, you got fast passes. And with the shutdown, with the pandemic, Disney said, you know what? Now you got to start paying for those things. And
it's just like the Apple. Like at the beginning, they want your service. They want you to be a customer here. But then they get too big and they're like, crap. Now we got to have more people at the Genius Bar. So now we have this fast pass system, but we need to be able to capitalize on it. These bands, we wanted everybody to go from these paper tickets to these bands. So now we're on it. We have the infrastructure for it. Now we got to pay for that infrastructure. So it's like, now they're using, like they got everybody to love it. And now we got to pay for it.
Right. And Disney's taken some hits for monetizing things that used to be free. But if you think about it from a business perspective, they've set our expectations. Like you said, now we all use Magic Bands or Magic Band Plus. You know, we all know how to use Genie Plus because we used FastPass. But now we just have to pay for it in order to keep it up.
Yeah. But that doesn't make the customer service better.
No, because when we had FastPass and it was free, if you couldn't get anything, you're like, well,
it was free.
It was free. I didn't have to pay for it.
I'm not paying $30 for it and not riding any ride.
Yeah, my expectations are it was free.
Yeah.
Now when you're paying $30 for Genie Plus and you ride three rides, you're like, I do not feel like I got my value out of that. And I think that's something that they have to contend with, but they're still doing an amazing job in terms of customer service, because it's not just about the theming. It's not just about the experience, the smells, the rides, the backstories that they put into all the little Disney touches. It's the people.
And again, that's where it kind of, let's circle back to that mom and pop feel.
Yep.
The cast members. Because again, we're pitting Disney and Universal. The rides, I would say Universal may be more superior. The theming of the lands.
Universal's coming up, man.
They're stepping up.
Yeah.
They're stepping up. Super Mario World, Wizarding World, like that's great. The cast members at Disney, I don't feel I'm inconveniencing them when I'm asking them a question. And yes, there people have bad days. I totally understand it. And they're in the service industry. I get it.
They have to deal with us all day. Yeah.
I get it. I understand. But a majority of the time, a cast member is so willing to be helpful. The times that I've been to Universal, it's not always the case. And I think that's something that you start to just be more loyal to. Like, hey, someone's going to say hello to me, good morning, with a smile. And I'm coming here to spend, like, I'm going to spend more money. Like,
yeah.
I'm in a good mood. Like, I don't feel like I'm inconveniencing the person for coming and having fun.
Right.
And I think that's something that is very telling of that customer service.
But here's where I think it's different. We do not put any of that onus on the team members that work at Universal Studios, because honestly, a lot of times it's the same people that work. They either go from Disney to Universal or Universal to Disney. They're amazing. They're doing their job. They're getting paid the same, whether they're being super nice or they're just doing their job. Yeah, yeah. Right. But I think it comes from the inside and from the top down, because just like with Chick-fil-A and just like with Disney, they empower their employees to make guests experience more magical or more special. So like at Disney, I've had the kids drop a entire pretzel right on the floor. And I think we were in line for Edna Mode. Kid dropped an entire, we just got the pretzel, dropped it on the floor. A cast member saw it and was like, oh no, made small talk with us. I'll be right back. They go and get another pretzel and they brought it to us. And like, you know, my kid dropped it. Like, it stinks, but I could live with it. I'm like, dang, man, paid for this pretzel, but it is what it is. But they went out of their way to make it better for us and to make things right. And we have so many stories where cast members were just pure magic to us. We don't go to Universal that often. We can't say that about Universal necessarily. But the cast members at Disney are empowered to do those things. They're empowered to go give a pretzel away, to upgrade somebody, to whatever it is. You know, you go check into your resort and there happens to be a free suite available for your stay. They're empowered to make those decisions. They don't have to say, oh, give me a second, and go talk to somebody and make it awkward.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's the difference, is it has to come from the company itself, and you have to really believe that the company does want to put the customers first and the guests first. And then once you drive that down, the people that work there are like, oh, well, I can do that. And it doesn't cost me anything extra. And I'm helping make people's days, experience, vacations that they've saved up for years and years better.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
I think the other part, and again, where there's so many like real life stories going to be in this one, because it's dealing with customer service, where, you know, this is where the customers that are experiencing this. But just recently, we went to a restaurant and our server was nice, you know, taking care of us.
Yeah.
And you know, the people that come bring the food out, it's usually not
like the
same
runners, or whatever.
The runner came and brought our food, and said, did you need anything else? Well, we were missing, you know, the queso or the whatever it was.
Like an appetizer.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, yeah, let me check on that. He runs, goes and checks on it and says, oh, actually, it was not placed in there. And I think there was like two routes I could have gone, or we could have gone, right? We could have gotten upset, like, oh my gosh, that waiter didn't put our order in. You know, now we're going to wait for an appetizer when our meals are already here. Like, gotten so upset. But that runner was like, but I could actually enter it right here in this little kiosk thing.
Yep.
And get it done. And he's talking to us through the whole thing. And we're like, oh, thank you so much. Like, you know, you got it under control. He's like, actually, and he starts telling this little anecdote while he's still doing his job.
Yeah.
He tells us that.
Well, he was like, how long do you think I've worked here? And we're like, do you even work here?
You know, again, because like he came with, he came more at a, with a friendly
with conversation. Care. Yeah, with, like he showed care.
Yeah. And he, again, he's still doing what he needs to do.
Yeah.
But he's talking to us. But he's like, yep, I'm going to be finishing my last day of training today. And we're like, oh, wow. You know, you're doing a great job and, you know, thoroughly impressed. And he's like, yeah, you know, I've kind of done this type of thing. And he mentioned that he worked at Disney. He was a cast member.
Yep.
And it was like, as soon as he said that, for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, it just like clicked. And I was like, okay, like he knows how to have customer service.
Yeah.
And he's, it could have been a situation where we got upset because we didn't get our food, get it in time or whatever. But he was able to just like navigate that in a way where I'm laughing, I'm having a conversation with him, and I still get, you know, they still get the, for me to buy another piece of food, an appetizer, and I got my food and I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Like our appetizer was way late. Like we had already eaten our food, but we were fine with it because we had this wonderful interaction.
Yeah.
Like we paid for it and everything, but like it was a great interaction. And that's what we took away from that dining experience was how great that, I was going to call him a cast member, how great that person was.
Yeah.
In,
but I mean, I think that that's the thing is like, is it that that culture ingrained into the person afterward? Does that stay with them? Or was it the person, regardless of whatever job? That person was able to say, you know what, I'm in this service industry, I'm gonna have good customer service.
Right. And I think when it comes to Disney, it's probably a mix of both, right? Like you want to hire people that you think are going to provide good service and that are caring and friendly, but then they also really drive at home how important it is to make the guest experience a good one. But all that to say, cast members are magic. But also, that's why we're loyal to some of these brands is because of the experience that they provide us, because of the customer service that they provide us.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's, you know, sometimes I'd pay it, you know, a few extra bucks because I know that I'm going to get a better, you know, better service.
Right.
You know, regardless of the product.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be transparent here. We talked about a lot of like big corporation companies here. A lot of the times you get really good customer service with a smaller mom and pop shop. And it could be online. It could be an Etsy store. It could be these people out here that are making all kinds of Greeblies and costumes and those types of things too. It doesn't, the size of your company does not dictate this kind of guest experience and customer service that you provide.
But I think the thing is like you could learn from those, the companies that have made it big because you could see like, okay, this is the level of service that they're providing. That should be the level, if not more.
Right.
Like, what more can I give?
Like, when you order from Etsy and they have a little handwritten note in there, you're just like, nice. I love that. I'm going to keep that forever. Or they put stickers in there. Like, that's what matters. It's like creating that, making your customer feel good.
Yeah.
Because then we'll keep coming. We will keep spending that money for sure. But I think that is a good place to wrap up this episode. So one of the things that we have done with the launch of our first episode of the year is we also launched a Patreon.
Yep.
And that was terrifying.
It is.
It is still terrifying, but we've been having a lot of fun with it. We've been sharing stuff every few days about just behind the scenes, things that are not so polished and like ready to go out to the public and just what we're working on.
Well, I think it's more just like the random things that we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, when we talk about it on the podcast, we have like more of a direction. So over there's maybe more rants, just kind of like, hey, more this rants. this is what we're doing. What do you
think? It's not all rants. There are conversations and behind the scenes too. But I've been really enjoying it. But we wanted to spotlight our very first patron. I cannot believe the success of our Patreon at the beginning. Like,
it's awesome.
How cool is this? Yeah. Like, this is amazing. You guys are amazing. But we wanted to shout out our very first patron.
Ash.
Thank you so, so much. It's just, I have no words. Like, I'm truly speechless. It's wonderful to have so much support for you and me sitting here talking about random stuff. So thank you for that.
And there's a bit of housekeeping that we got to do. So we have an event coming up. I don't know if you've heard of it, Mosh Eisley. Going to be February 3rd in Orlando. Yep. So if there's tickets available, go check out moshisley.com. But we want to shout out some of our sponsors.
Yes. So we're going to have two sponsors that are going to be exhibiting at Mosh Eisley. One of them was at our very first Mosh Eisley, and they're making their grand return, Crafted Cores. They sell kyber crystals that are compatible with some certain scrap metal you may be getting in a Black Spire outpost. Let's put it that way. And then we also have Gabbercrate, who's going to be there, who, if you don't know the amazing attire from this company.
Yeah, I think there's definitely homages to a lot of the wear at Star Cruiser coming from Gabber.
Yeah, it's amazing. They've got ponchos, they've got shirts, they've got jackets, like amazing stuff. So they will also be at Mosh Eisley. We cannot wait to see them there. We cannot wait to see you there if you are going to be there. And if you are going to be at Mosh Eisley or around MegaCon weekend, drop us a comment and let us know, because we want to party with you.
Until next time.